Jared, we had a viewing party here at my house for Ray's Twitch stream.
A viewing party?
Kelly and Owen sat in the living room and watched it on Kelly's phone, and I sat in here and watched it separately on my computer.
Oh, when was this?
Was this Sunday?
Sounds right. I don't remember.
I wouldn't know, because I don't know when Ray is on. I never get alerts or anything.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Neither do I, but I will tell you that it's every day, all day. He is streaming right now.
Negative.
Which is why Ray should make an announcement in Profane Argument, which I probably won't see that either. So make an announcement in my channel, Adam's channel.
I might be able to do that. I don't know. I don't know if I... I started looking at how to do it.
All you have to do is just go, hey, I'm streaming.
Sure.
And then I'll know. But
there's a way to set it up to send it to Discord automatically, but not exactly sure how that works. I'm tired of looking into how to make things work in the automatic. Like,
learning new things is for suckers.
Yeah. I'm like, streaming, all I got to do is run OBS. It'll be simple. It'll be easy. And then I'm like, well, I wonder, what do I need to do to get an intro? What do I need to do to do this? What do I need to... And now, like, I ended up, like, writing shit in JavaScript and...
What?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Well, okay, this is all for after-show shit, but...
Yeah, it should be. All right, yeah, let's just get going. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Profane Argument Podcast, a.k.a. the Soaring Eagles of Freedom, for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. My name is Ray, and along with me are...
I'm Karen.
I'm Jared.
This is Ian.
On this podcast, we talk about news, politics, and religious nonsense, and give our opinions from a secular point of view. If you'd like to join in on our conversation, you can sign up on our Patreon page, which will allow you to chat with us directly as we record on Discord.
Hey, I got a quick question before
Tuesday
you...
Tuesday night. Okay.
So, come on, those people hear that same shit every week. They know what's going on. It's fucking Tuesday we record. I have been told, because we don't offer that much for the patrons other than they can come in here and listen to the occasional patron podcast that we've only done one of and promised others that we haven't done, that we should record the preamble. Now, obviously, the people who come in here and get to listen to it know the preamble.
But, sure.
But that we should record the preamble and put it in as a patron exclusive for certain patrons. Now, again, this is work for Ray, who just said not moments ago, I hate learning new shit. But you see, you would not know that if you were not a patron and got to hear the preamble.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Now, I said... to the person, I said, that's ridiculous. First of all, it's literally 5 to 10 minutes of people talking about their vacations or, you know.
Right.
I'm like, it's not really, you know, I mean, occasionally there's interspersed shit that's funny, but.
Yeah. Right. I was going to say, here is why I don't want to give that up. I don't necessarily talk to Jared or Karen any other set days of the week. And in the preamble, when I know we're not recording or broadcasting, I can be more honest about, you know,
personal stuff.
Us being friends and our personal lives that I would not be willing to share on the show. And I would hate, especially, and even if it's not like personal stuff, when I'm sharing details about the upcoming travels that I'm going to share with any one of you, I don't want that going out to the world.
Right.
Right.
I don't want to advertise that we're not going to be home for a week.
Right.
That's when I go to your house, though, Karen. You claim you've never met me, but I'm like, every time I come around, you're never home.
That's encouraging.
Not
so,
scary
yeah, so,
at all.
So it is a bad. I thought it was a bad idea.
I don't know if it's
isn't.
A bad idea. For some reason, I thought it would just be going out, but just Josh, you know, had suggested that Ray would just edit the preamble, you know, similarly to how he edits the show, if there's anything sensitive in the preamble that couldn't be shared.
Right. But again, if we're promising this preamble every time, and sometimes it's funny and interesting, and sometimes it's just been like, yeah, I didn't do anything this week, whatever, fucking start the show. You know?
Oh, yes. I mean, I feel like that's life. Like, everything can't be a home run.
Right. We were just spitballing ideas to...
That's not a terrible idea.
Yeah,
it's
to
not.
Incentivize the patrons.
Sure.
Not the ones that are already here and paying. You guys are the best.
They are awesome.
Yeah.
All right, well...
But yes, the deal would be available to new and existing subscribers.
Interesting idea. Yeah, I'm not sure how the best way to implement something like that would be, but...
All right, I'm with the show.
Yeah. All right, well, this week, yesterday, it was April Fool's Day, but no, we will not be engaging in the shenanigans here. Or at least I won't. I can't guarantee for anybody else.
Well, the day has passed. I mean, what's the point now?
Right.
This is true. For better or worse... This is all real or at least credibly sourced information.
Oh, yeah. Yes, this will, as it always is, be a prank-free show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually had somebody convinced at the bar that April Fool's was invented by Jesus. because it's so lovely that it fell around Easter that nice. I was like, they're like, well, how did April Fool's get started? And I was like, from Jesus. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, when he gets resurrected, then he goes back into the cave, and then on April Fool's Day it came out, and he's like, just kidding. They're like, what? And I'm like,
that's awesome.
You thought I was dead. April Fool's.
Yeah.
That's even better than I imagined. I thought it was going to be something like that. Just happened to be the day that God decided to hide all the... fake dinosaur fossils around the world that can trick people into believing in dinosaurs. Right. Save April Fools!
Something to keep those scientists occupied.
I love that Easter joke, though. I'm going to steal that, use that next year.
All right, you got it, bro. It's all yours.
All right, let's get into the show this week. Follow-ups. I don't really have much on this, but Trump has sued his Truth Social company co-founders. He claims that they bungled their duties, they forfeited their stock, and that Trump Media shares plunged less than a week after going public. Who didn't expect that? We all knew that they were,
you know,
bloated.
It's funny because every time I hear anybody talk about the Truth Social stock and the news and stuff like that, I never hear mention of these two guys.
Like he pushed them out from the beginning, yeah.
Oh! I thought it was a recent thing that he.
Well, no, because they were going to sue him, and then allegedly they'd reached some sort of agreement, and now that was just a fake agreement, so he could sue them first.
Yeah, but that's what it looks like. He actually sued them. The paperwork was filed on March 24th, so it's been going on for a while now.
Oh, and now he's suing them again because the stock dropped.
Well, he's suing them because it's like dereliction of duty and breach of contract, that kind of thing, and therefore they're not entitled to the 8.5% or whatever it was of the stock. He's trying to zero them out. The two people that started the company.
Oh, I thought Ray said that he is. Okay, so you were just mentioning that the stock has dropped, not that he's suing them because the stock dropped.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's part of the reasoning, I think, is that, it's because of their incompetence is the reason that the stock is plummeting.
But the boxed them out, though, before it went.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's reality. That doesn't come into his argument.
Right. No. I mean, the reason that they didn't make that the stock is going down is because they made $4 million last year and they spent $58 million or something. It's crazy. I mean, the stock is still way too high because it's being propped up by foreign investors and, MAGA heads and whoever.
Please, what a way to curry favor with your new president other than buying large portions of his stock.
Right. I was surprised that he did not vote himself get out of the waiting period. So they're still in for 6 months. He can't sell his stock for 6 months.
Did this guy not just drop $143 million today?
$175, yeah.
Or whatever. And he still has got money to get lawyers to do another fucking lawsuit against somebody?
Yep. Yeah, the are we talking about the guy that is ponying up the $175 million?
I do not have it on here, no.
Someone gave him that. Okay.
Yeah, it's an insurance company, but it's an insurance company. It's Mr. Hankey. That's actually his name. I forget what his first name is, but his last name is Hankey.
Christmas Pooh?
Yeah.
He is a Christmas Pooh.
We got Mr. Hankey, and then we got Mr. Yaz Girl.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Hankey is the king of subprime loans. So for all you poor people who can't get a used car unless you pay 18% interest on your loan, he's the guy that the loan is from. He's the parent company. So that makes sense.
Well, there's a hero.
Yeah.
I don't see why Trump would have any problem paying high percentage since he doesn't pay anybody back to begin with. So put as big a percentage on there as you'd like.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do have a couple other Trump things, but again, this was just to be a follow-up that he is suing them. So we'll circle back to Trump here in a minute. But I wanted to hit a couple science things first. There was a Skeptical Inquirer article. The CSI is to adapt a don't vilify GMOs approach. So the impetus for this was the American Academy of Pediatrics published, they had this article in the journal Pediatrics that implied that despite a complete lack of evidence, genetically engineered foods, or GMOs,
or as we call it, food sometimes, because all food's GM. Go on.
Right. They implied that the food was contaminated, that's their word, and thus should be avoided. So the Skeptical Inquirer has this response, and they're asking for people to add their names to a statement. You can do that following the link that's going to be on the webpage. GMOs, like Jared mentioned, genetically modified organisms like broccoli, corn, like
bananas,
everything is a genetically modified.
You ever seen what a banana used to look like?
Yeah, or what a wild apple looks and tastes like?
Yeah.
Hey, people, carrots actually come in different colors.
They do. Although, I did read a story recently about they tried to engineer broccoli that tastes like bubblegum to get kids to eat it. And the kids were like, this is confusing. We don't understand and we don't like it.
Oh my God. That's... Where can I get my hands on some of that? Because I fucking hate broccoli, but I know I should eat it. Oh, it is fucking, it warns you with its awful taste, right? That is deadly. You shouldn't eat it.
Yeah, it's by far my favorite vegetable.
Oh my God. I mean, unless there's something genetically wrong with me. Because people swear by this shit, and it smells and tastes like fucking vomit to me.
Huh.
Interesting. Not for everybody, but...
But I would eat a shit ton of it if it tastes like bubblegum.
What are you, 9?
Ugh, that flavor sounds so bad.
Oh, my God.
Whenever you artificially flavor something, bubblegum is one of those choices that I will never pick. Yeah. Like, if you give me a piece of bubblegum, great. I'm on board. I like a piece of bubblegum, whether it be something, you know... boring like Juicy Fruit or Spearmint or something exciting like Hubba Bubba, you know, whatever. I'm cool with it. I just don't like things just like all the alternate flavors of Oreo. Gross.
Mm.
They are accurate and they are tasty, but I don't want more than one.
I don't know. The lemon ones are kind of good.
Once I've had a key lime pie Oreo, I'm totally satisfied with that and I want to move on. Regular Oreos are perfect because I can eat a whole sleeve of those and not be satisfied.
Well, maybe I should put it this way. It already tastes like shit to me. So bubblegum's got to be better, right?
Yeah, ugh.
I mean, that's my only argument.
Broccoli bubblegum is...
Now, I did want to circle back around about the whole GMO thing.
Yes.
There is a little bit of a problem with what we're saying in that there are foods that have been genetically engineered. That is having, like...
Better yield.
Animal DNA extracted and used to modify crops or something like that. And that's genetic engineering.
Sure.
The problem is Monsanto a while back was doing genetically engineered food and they just lumped it all in under GMO. And so it's Monsanto's fault for that. When you refer to GMOs, you're referring to everything that humans have modified in any way. So genetically engineered food and genetically modified food, they all fall under this GMO headline, and that's because of the efforts that Monsanto did to just blend it in. Now, that being said, I'm not saying genetically engineered food is bad either.
Right.
It depends. I mean, some things I think are fine. I mean, bread to, you know, hold up against parasites. That sounds good, as long as there's no downside to it. But it make it glow in the dark or taste like bubblegum, that seems unnecessary.
Well, now, wait a minute. Someone had mentioned this already in the chat, but they have already done this with grapes. They make grapes that taste like cotton candy.
Yeah, they do.
True.
They're way too sweet.
Mm. I mean, a grape is already delicious on its own. I don't know why you need to fuck with it, but...
way too sweet. The regular grape's much better.
Yeah. So, but I mean, if we're genetically modifying it to, like, grow legs and walk around, I'm against that.
Right. But it's like the other things, even the stuff that Karen was mentioning, I don't have any objection to making a novelty version of that. You know, if you make... Again, as long as it doesn't turn out to be toxic or something like that, I won't choose bubblegum flavored bubblegum flavored broccoli, but they can make that and offer it to people. And if someone enjoys it, good for them.
I mean,
if someone wants, their beverage to glow, iridescent color at night, that's not for me, but good for them. Enjoy.
Well, it's called tonic. Put it under a black light. It looks awesome.
Nice.
Well, then they get things like the Bartlett pear, which is making another species of tree extinct because it cross-pollinates with them. And so everybody wants these Bartlett pear trees because they grow fast and they look nice, except that they're invasive and they're a real problem. And your neighborhood association is going to ask you to take out your Bartlett pears at some point.
That reminds me.
Tell me more. Tell me more about the tree that it is ruining. What does it yield?
Nothing. And that's the problem.
Get it out. Don't care.
If a
delicious pear tree is ruining another tree and the other tree doesn't do anything?
Well, I think it's cross-pollinating with native pear trees and the resultant tree is sterile or something like that. So
that sounds bad.
Yeah,
it's bad. Growing legs completely. And walking around, Ian, and replanting itself in other places. That reminds me, I saw a story the other day on the news about this company that is legit trying to recreate a woolly mammoth.
Yeah, they've been talking about that for a long time.
Yeah, but they interviewed this, and this guy's like, I'm thinking maybe like 6 to 8 years, we'll be able to repopulate them.
Why do I hear Craig in my head? Let's bring it back, taste it, and if it tastes good, then we'll make more.
it's a whole company, I think it's called like Mammoth Resurgence or something. They interviewed the guy. I mean, basically what they're doing is genetically modifying an actual, like an Asian elephant to have fur on it.
Right.
Okay.
Because I guess it's the closest. But, and while I would love to see a woolly mammoth like in a zoo, this guy's like, no, we want to put them out in the wild. And nobody was like, you think that's a good idea? Like, what?
I mean, what happened to the original ones? I mean, I know that, you know, early humans hunted them, but I don't think we managed to make them extinct. I think they went out with the Ice Age. So why do we think in a warming world that they will survive? You want to put them in Antarctica or something? There's no food there.
What's the point of this?
To see if you can. Humans are really good at doing things just to see if they can.
I get, put it in a fucking zoo. Put it in a refrigerated thing and everybody will be like, oh, that's awesome. You know?
Sure.
But, I mean, to be like, no. I mean, can anybody just be like, I'm going to bring back... They're like, we're going to bring back the dodo bird, too, is another thing they kept talking about. And I'm like, I don't know about this. Like, you bring, like, the wrong frog into an area or an insect, and you will fuck everything up.
Or rabbits to Australia. Devastated it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've heard just letting your cat roam around outside...
That's bad.
It fucks the ecosystem up.
Yeah, they eat all the baby birds. It's real bad.
Yeah. Turns out cats are really good predators.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
And they'll keep hunting even if they're not hungry. So it doesn't matter if you feed them or not.
Yeah. And I invite them all to my yard. It's animal chaos here.
Animal chaos is good.
Yeah, I know. I agree. We have an out. So there's a neighborhood cat that we feed and you know, loosely care for. We put an outdoor cat house outside for it, give it food and water regularly. We were curious if it was ever, you know, taking us up on that offer. So we put our Ring camera in there for a week to see what was going on in there. And it does. It visits regularly. And we were very proud of ourselves. There's also a very brave mouse that sneaks in there and steals the cat food.
Nice.
And there is a very brazen possum that comes in there and just goes, it's disgusting. It's amazing. horrifying on the ring camera to see and hear those teeth and that maw just clawing and chawing away at cat food. It was quite the thing.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, absolutely. Bring them all back. As, again, especially the ones that humans have specifically driven into extinction in what I believe is an unnatural way. Am I a scientist or even very smart? No.
And put them back out in the wild?
Sure.
No. Yeah, you can't do that.
That's one way that messing with ecology, I don't think we should really,
All right. How about like a less menacing Jurassic Park situation?
Yeah, you want to make a mammoth zoo or a dodos or an extinct animal zoo? Yeah, dodos,
Tasmanian devils. It's got like a horse body and a zebra head, a quagga or something like that.
I don't know that one.
Just don't.
No, I'm not a zonky. A zonky is something different. This is like I'll look it up. I have the internet.
Sure.
I think the only thing I would be okay with is if we need to remake bees and release bees, because we know that those...
they're super useful.
Yeah, we need those.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do need bees.
So speaking of humans messing with stuff that maybe we're not really sure what the impact's going to be, there's an article on the New York Times talking about on an Icelandic plateau, an international team of engineers is powering up an innovative machine designed to alter the very composition of the Earth's atmosphere.
Oh.
If everything goes as planned, it's basically an enormous vacuum that will be sucking in a ton of air, stripping out carbon dioxide, locking it away, and shooting the air back.
So carbon capture.
Eliminating greenhouse gases, yes, but on a scale that's never been done before.
Well, we've never really done carbon capture before.
And where does this carbon go?
That's what I need to know more about. Like, where are they storing the carbon that they pull from the air?
It really only says they're locking it away. Mm-hmm. So,
watch out, Gaza Strip. We're just going to drop it right there and leave it.
So the article goes on to talk about other technologies like this. They've been studying a way to block the sun's radiation, testing whether adding by changing the atmosphere, like by putting different things in the air all over the world, testing whether or not iron can be added to the ocean to carry carbon dioxide to the seafloor. But all of these are at a global scale. Now, previously, they've been too expensive, impractical, you know, kind of sci-fi dreams. But because of the worsening climate crisis, more countries are putting more money into doing research. And some of these companies are apparently blossoming. So we can expect to hear about these, I think, a little bit more in the upcoming future here.
I mean, I guess
about bringing the Megalodon back and repopulating them.
No.
I don't think bringing large creatures back to existence is actually going to help our greenhouse gases. They normally eject a lot of methane, don't they?
You don't know that for sure.
I think you should get it. I'm with you, Jared. If it gets out of hand, I'll just tell Jason Statham to punch it in the face and learn its lesson.
It feels like a Star Trek episode, though. They went to some planet and it was horribly polluted. And so the Star Trek people were like, all right, fine, we'll put satellites in orbit. Oh, no, they're satellites that were in orbit that cleaned up the pollution, didn't work anymore. So they had to help fix the satellites. It's like, well, you could just pollute less. You could try that. And they're like, we've got satellites. It's fine.
So we're doing the Futurama. So to combat global warming, we're stealing ice from space and dropping it in our ocean every so often.
Yeah. Instead of doing what we know needs to be done, and we're going to run out of oil at some point anyway, we're, you know, trying plan B. Why not just try plan A? Actually, we could try, how about we do both A and B?
You get that oil out of my cold, dead hands, Karen.
Yeah.
Fucking woke piece of shit.
The last piece of science news that I wanted to bring up on sciencesaves.org, they had because it's the right time of year, a bracket, a science clash bracket of the greatest life-saving science invention of all time.
Oh.
There were 16. They included seat belts, anesthesia, anti-malarial drugs, sewage systems.
Okay. Did vaccines make it to the final four?
Yes.
It did. The final four were vaccines, sewage systems, antibiotics, and blood transfusions.
Mm. Ooh.
The final two were vaccines and antibiotics.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you called it vaccines.
Wow. I didn't see it going all the way, but I like it.
Well, I feel like there's some side effects to antibiotics that are never good, you know.
Yeah.
That make
antibiotic-resistant bacteria.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bacteria and such.
Bacteria evolve as well, so it's problematic. Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
Apparently, they just overlooked all of the side effects of vaccines, right?
Yeah. Weird.
Because they don't exist.
Side effects of eradicating
big
diseases.
Vax obviously ran this fucking thing. This bracket.
Oh, it's well, the greatest.
Go ahead, Karen.
The greatest lifesavers of all time. Okay, I thought it was great. It's scientific achievement of all time, but okay.
No, life-saving achievements.
Life-saving. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I can't believe that was that was a good final four.
Mm.
Yeah. That makes me feel like no Jehovah's Witnesses had any voting power in this whatsoever.
Likely, very much likely. They do encourage science teachers to break out the science class bracket and play round by round with their students.
Mm. Nice.
Which I'm very interested in seeing that happen. But at the same time, I mean, it should always come down to vaccines. So many lives have been saved.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, anesthesia is nice, but I don't know if it's saved lives. It's made surgery a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would be exceedingly unpleasant before we had anesthesia, yeah.
Before anesthesia, we had screaming until the patient passes out, and then you can proceed.
No, we had booze. Drink this booze.
Yeah.
As quickly as possible. And bite down on this.
Yeah.
Oh, why did I put this at the top of the news?
Uh-oh.
All right, let's shift gears and go an entirely different direction. Are you ready to go completely negative from the positive science thing?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, because we are going to, I'm trying to think if I could rearrange this a little bit, but let's just get this over with.
This is what I think I heard, we only have like 7 years left, or no, 17 years left?
No.
Oh.
No, this is current news, current in Gaza. The Israelis attacked and destroyed, killed seven, what's the organization called? The
World Central Kitchen.
World Central Kitchen workers.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just amazingly bad.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the idea that this was, you know, an oopsie. It gets way worse.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they like actually tell them where they're going to be and at what time.
Yep.
Right?
Right. They absolutely do. They are very clear that our people are in this area. The cars are clearly marked. The weapons that were used were precision missiles. They entered from the top of the vehicle and exploded from within. Precision munitions.
Oh,
go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, and to be clear, they didn't just drop a bomb on one car. They dropped a bomb on one car, and all the people in that car, and all the people in the second car, ran to the first car, pulled out their friends, took them back into the second car. Then they dropped a bomb on that car. All the people that were in the third car went, crap, what is going on? Ran up to get their friends who were then in the second car, pulled them all back into the third car, and then they bombed that car. They bombed three cars in a row within minutes.
You might want to explain what these people do.
Sure.
We didn't really say, because people are probably like, okay, who are these people? Why do we care?
So the World Central Kitchen, I can't remember the guy's name who heads it up, but you could see him on the Colbert Show, or what is it?
Jose Andres,
thank you very much. They specifically go into places where food is critical, and they make food for people. Thousands upon thousands of meals they distribute to people in need across the world. And of course, right now, Gaza is one of the primary places where people need food. So that's what they're doing. That's all they do, is they cook meals for people. And like I said, cars clearly marked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was right. Definitely not a whoopsie.
Well, this is also the same man who just Jeff Bezos gave him $100 million to start and fortify this organization.
Yeah,
when he was dishing out some sort of accidental charity. But he, yeah, this is
he wasn't I, there. I feel like he, it's didn't, resolved, he didn't die. Though. He didn't die, right?
No.
No, he's okay. Okay. No, these were just seven people who volunteered with the organization. I mean, I feel like I saw Netanyahu's statement, and I mean, that cleared it all up for me. I mean, genocide isn't an exact science. Sometimes this happens. You know, what are you going to do? No big deal. You know, it's just waterfront property in Gaza. What are you going to do?
I mean, I know it's been said a million times before, but it is so fucking out of hand right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. You are not going to be remembered.
Yeah. That's a good guy.
For this.
No.
How long has it been now? Six months. Seven months?
6 months, yeah.
Like, damn. Like,
yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So I was going to say, 3 days ago, the host of Saturday Night Live came out and said, "Free Palestine," to a standing 15-second ovation.
Mm.
That has never happened in this country, in the history of this country. That's absurd. No.
They managed to get all those. They managed to get all those anti-Semites into one place.
I know.
It's amazing. How did they do that?
The SNL lottery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anti-Semites are lucky, and they write nice essays.
Oh my God! Have you guys ever seen this Rabbi Shmuley?
No.
No.
I know the name sounds ridiculous, but
it does. That's why. I'm sorry. I'm sure it's just perfectly normal, but it made me chuckle.
Oh my God. If you see him too, he looks like he's a very interesting cat. I mean, but he's a complete nut utter asshole. But he's one of those no matter what you say against Israel, you're an anti-Semite. I mean, this guy goes through fucking hoops to point out that you're an anti-Semite. Look him up.
Sorry. That you continue, but I'm going to try to post something here in the Discord, which I'm not super good at. But speaking of that, have you guys seen or read anything about this?
Whoa. Mm.
Yes.
I mean, I see what the controversy is already, but
I couldn't. I had to look it up. I was stunned. I was like, that's what I thought it was.
That's supposed to be a 44. That is not what I saw first.
No.
Oh, yeah. I saw a 44. I had to actually read the article to figure out why there was outrage. But apparently there's pretty clear outrage, and they Adidas and Germany went ahead and changed it, and they apologized. They don't know, you know, it was obvious. I don't believe it was intentional.
No.
I saw this and thought, wow, someone is clearly working hard to be outraged. But you guys saw this and thought, oh my God.
Yeah. Now, maybe because we just happened to be talking about Jewish people when you posted Possibly. It. That is why I saw it immediately. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Now, we didn't give, for the people who didn't see the image, what exactly are we looking at here?
We are looking at a German football jersey with the number 44 on it. The 44 on it is in a block letter font that if you are able to, you know, I mean, for me, it was harder, but it looks similar to, and by... You guys have to tell it. I can't. It doesn't look similar. I don't know what everybody's seeing. This is like one of those pictures where I'm supposed to relax my eyes and see the sailboat, and I never do.
No, I saw it right away.
Yeah.
So the 44 looks like an SS flag to me. Like, that's the very first thing I saw. The Schutzstaffel, which was the German SS, the Nazis. Yeah, I'm... To be honest, I didn't see 44 until you mentioned it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm like, why does that shirt exist? It has an Adidas symbol and it has a SS on it. Like, what's going on?
It's, yeah, I mean, why stylize your 44 like that at all? It's just odd.
I had no idea. Yeah. You guys are not wrong. There is, this will help out some questions in the Discord. Nobody, male or female, on any football club anywhere in the world wears a 44.
Oh.
This was made intentionally. So I can only assume it was made with bad intent.
Oh.
I couldn't see it.
I was about to ask. I'm like, who's the player that has 44?
Not a person. Nobody.
Ooh. And it's German.
There's no professional men's or women's club that has a 44 player.
Huh. You know.
Then why? Okay. Interesting. Do they not have a 44 because it's the number of players that are on the team? So you just have 1 through 11 or whatever it is?
No.
Hmm.
No, I don't know. I'll investigate that and let you know.
Okay.
All right, well, that took a weird turn.
Yeah, it did. But I needed to know because I thought this was totally contrived outrage. But now that we've dug a little deeper to it, I'm completely wrong. I'm just not very observant.
Well, I mean, I can easily also see it being a simple mistake. I don't get the font. I mean, it's clearly like this weird block letter. I just don't understand the font, but whatever. I can easily see that it was just a mistake and not done intentionally. But then again, there's a little bit of me going, really?
Right. Even if it was, it could have been. I'm open to what Gridge pointed out. It could have been by the original designer. It could have been inadvertent, and then someone saw that and went, "Oh, this is a great signal for all my other Aryan brothers."
Right.
Let's all buy this jersey, and then Adidas is like, "Why are so many Nazis buying this jersey? We should probably look into that."
Why do they want that number? Oh. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So that kind of does lead into the next article that I have, weirdly enough. It's from the Washington Free Beacon. It's talking about the U.S. top intelligence agencies wanting to stop its spies from using certain language, specifically biased language. It starts off talking about it doesn't want the intelligence agency spies or, you know, just people that work for the intelligence agency. They don't want them to use the terms radical Islamist or jihadist because those words are hurtful to Muslim Americans and detrimentally impact our efforts as they bolster extremist rhetoric. Mm. So radical Islamists and jihadists, we're not going to hear that as much from the intelligence agencies because they think they're hurting people's feelings.
I had a conversation.
Go ahead.
I had a conversation once with a PhD candidate in linguistics about language and about why words do matter. I mean, you could say that, you know, it's just words. Sticks and stones may break, you know, your bones, but words will never hurt me. But words are the only way that we express the thoughts that are in our head. It's the only way to get it out is via language. So language takes on its own weight after a certain amount of usage.
I understand. I get that. And I'm not even sure that this is an argument against what you just said. Mm. But the idea that I can no longer say someone is an Islamic extremist because when I use that phrase, some Muslims who are not extremists take offense to it. It doesn't change the fact that that person is Muslim and an extremist, therefore is an Islamic extremist.
Yeah, as long as you're using the words accurately, and it's a known radical Islamist or a jihadist.
That's the problem, is a lot of people have taken these phrases and started using them willy-nilly and referring to any Muslim as an extremist.
Right.
And yeah, but that doesn't change the definition of the word.
Agreed. Yeah. Huh.
So this also led into some of the other phrases that they are encouraging employees of intelligence agencies to avoid. Words such as blacklisted, cakewalk, brown bagging, or grandfathered in, or sanity check.
Can we get a
explanation? Lost me almost immediately and you just kept losing.
Can I get an explanation of why you can't use some of these?
All right, so supposedly blacklisted implies that black is bad and white is good.
That also happened in the tech industry. So you used to be able to have blacklists and whitelists of or IP addresses or URLs or whatever, and they got away from that because it the connotation is black is evil and white is good. Yeah, I think that is kind of
that one I can at least understand. Let's move on to the next one.
Mm. So the intelligence agencies will no longer be holding their prisoners at black sites? That's just too
that's
hurtful.
That's not on the list.
Well, we don't know. It should be.
Is a black site a bad place?
Those sites are the worst kind.
Are they a bad place? We don't know that. Maybe they're fun.
I don't know. What kind of bad place? Are you suggesting that these sites are... I don't know. Yeah, it's...
All right, so let's move on to the next one. Cakewalk. Cakewalk
okay. is
being,
I gotta know.
Yeah. Because to me, I grew up, our schools in the elementary school, we had, as we would have like one evening a year, there would be like a parent teacher. It wasn't a parent teacher conference, but it was like a party thing. All the different homerooms would put together games that you would play, and the kids would go in and play the games. And it was a chance for the teachers and the students and the parents to all like interact and have fun. And the one event was a cakewalk, and you would do this like, I can't remember the name, musical chairs. It was like a musical chairs game. But there were cakes as prizes, and it was easy to win.
Mm.
So those were cakewalks. And that's what I always referred. That's what I thought of when anybody's like, oh, that's a cakewalk. It's easy.
Right.
It's simple. Apparently.
Tell us why we're wrong.
In the South, there was the cakewalk was a reference to a dance performed by slaves for slave owners on plantation grounds. If you Google this or pull it up in Wikipedia, that's true. That's apparently where the term cakewalk came from originally.
But why did it get
twisted into being something easy now?
Well, because the slave owners considered this a very easy way to reward their slaves with cake.
Why cake?
They would have them dress up and perform dances as though they were, you know, normal people, and they would reward the best dancers with cake.
Huh.
I still don't see how it's like where now you go, oh, that's easy. It's a cakewalk. Why is a cakewalk easy? I mean, listen. If it's racist, it's racist. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm just curious how it got transformed.
It's this right. Well, it's just one of I don't know. Oh, how it went from being racist to just meaning something that's easy.
Right? Because I don't. Because if someone said to me back then, be like, "Hey, it's a cakewalk," you'd be like, "It's a dance thing? What? I don't understand why."
If you had asked me what the origin was, I would not have known. Why is a cakewalk easy?
Just going backwards to find the origin. I don't know how we managed to un-racist it.
Yeah.
Like, that's rare.
Right. Yeah. True.
Right. I mean, we had to dig a little bit. I mean, is this similar to like, so Jared, when you're showing a house and you get to the bedroom.
The biggest bedroom.
It's called the master. It's called the master bedroom.
Dare you?
That's what... To date,
that connotates that someone else is your slave. You are a racist piece of garbage.
I thought it was the owner's suite.
As far as Pennsylvania is concerned, it is okay still to say that.
Prepare for change, man.
Yeah, prepare to get sued again.
Let's hit the next one because the next one killed me. Brown bagging.
I packed my lunch instead of bought it because
I'm poor. Right,
that's what I thought.
I'm poor.
Yeah, but apparently you're wrong. The term refers to a often used test, which often, what do you mean often? Anyway, it was a brown bag test in the 20th century, in the early 20th centuries, where according to ODNI, which outlined the terms, the people would use a brown bag to measure whether the person's skin tone would allow them into certain facilities.
No way is that true.
Right?
That story may be true. But no way is that what brown bagging means.
Right. Yeah, and just because one guy did it once doesn't mean that the entire thing is racist.
Right.
Also, or that was the origin.
If they called that brown bagging, then I feel you are still allowed to say I'm brown bagging it today, because it literally today means you are bringing your lunch.
In a brown paper bag. Yeah.
I think originally that's what it meant. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Ray, that happened at some point.
Maybe.
But maybe it's not so unplausible that I'm going to laugh it off. But before their claim, when did they say this happened? In the 20s? In the early?
Early 20th century. So 19
people were bringing their lunch in a brown paper bag before that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Both things can be true at the same time.
Brown bag and it is predates a let. Next.
That is a little too far for me.
Mm. Right.
The election must be too far out. We must be really in the need for some outrage and Jesus.
So here's a response from Jim Banks, who is a representative Republican from Indiana. He says he's also a member of the House Armed Services Committee. He said the U.S. intelligence officials are being trained to use terms that don't disparage China or Islamic terrorists. Wokeness is a gift to our adversaries. He goes too far immediately.
Ridiculous. I'm like, please. I mean, we're saying it's dumb. Am I saying it's going to be the downfall of our country if they don't say it? No.
You had me at this is woke nonsense. Hmm. You lost me and I'm going to keep going.
Right.
Because all it is woke nonsense. Not even entirely, though. Karen's point at the very top of this was language and precision of language is important because words are tied to your identity and your identity is how you feel about yourself. So if they are being misused and they're making you feel like less, that's important to correct.
Yes.
That's true. If collectively, I mean, not collectively, but if a majority of black people came out and said, could you please stop, say, brown bagging it because it's, I'd be like, fine. Okay. Yep, fine. I don't care.
A parcel lunch it is. Fine.
Yeah. But until that happens, I don't agree with that, but I also don't think it's the end of the world if I can't say it anymore. Mm. I may mutter under my breath. This is stupid.
The one thing from the documentation that I do also have a problem with was they said about the term Salafi jihadist, Islamic extremist, Sunni or Shia extremist. These terms incorrectly suggest that Islamic beliefs condone the actions and rhetoric espoused by the foreign terrorist organizations. I have a little bit of problem with that because
I'm with Ray on this one.
Islamic
it very
beliefs
clearly says
to condone these actions. Core extremist fundamentalist Islamic beliefs do support these actions.
True.
That can also be said about Christianity.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, look at this country. Yeah. I've been told by the news a couple of times these past couple of weeks that there are a few Republicans out there that would like to actually kill us.
Yes.
Or import us, at least.
A few?
Yeah. A few in public. Many, many in reality, but a few in public now.
Right. The last one I forgot. Well, actually, there's two others. Grandfathered and sanity check. Sanity check, obviously, because it implies individuals with mental illness are inferior.
Sure.
Okay.
No, that's rude.
Right.
To suggest that insanity and mental illness are equivalent is inappropriate.
That's inappropriate, yes. Mm.
That is the wildly wrong thing about this. Sanity check is totally unrelated to mental illness. Mental illness is very real. Sanity check also, I mean, that's a glib way to say it, but you should check on your mental health regularly.
Can we do an insanity check?
I mean, that kind of presents in a very obvious way, but you could absolutely.
And then the term grandfathered refers to a statutory and constitutional clause that enacted by seven states from 1895 to 1910 that denied suffrage to African Americans, preventing them the right to vote. I don't understand. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm trying to work this one out of my head. I don't understand.
So I think this fits in with the one other one that we had, the idea that grandfathered, you would be grandfathered into something. The idea
just
is
means
your
old.
Grandfather had something, and now you're the grandson or granddaughter, so you get it too. That's grandfathered. The idea that that was
to
used once to apply to African Americans to prevent them to vote, that doesn't mean the entire idea of grandfathered is wrong.
Yeah. This is brown bagging and cakewalking all over again.
Exactly. That's a weird sentence, but in this context makes
perfect
sense.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just to have to take such a historically deep dive into a word in the hopes of discovering at some point in history it might have been considered slanderous to then a century later be like, we'll fix this. Come on. I will object because the agents who work for these agencies, and this is a little bit ridiculous, I'm borderline Jim Banksing it here, but there, the time that we have to apply training to them is finite. To spend that training time on trainings like this is a boon to our enemies.
I do. I mean, that was my first inclination, was to say, isn't there more important shit you should be spending your time on?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
But on the same token, like, how much effort does this take?
It's the remembering.
I have no idea. I don't know if this was just a meeting, if they just sent out an email, if they had to have HR come and retrain everybody.
To not say a word? I guess it's probably not even that. It's probably more of a memo to the PR part of it, to be like, okay, when you put out a statement, don't say these words.
Yeah, don't put it on paper.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, it's billed as a across multiple intelligence agencies, like, directive. But whether it was just put out as a memo or whether it's going to be included in training, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no information on that. In any case, it got me a little riled up, and I'm glad it did you too. All right, moving on to politics, because we're running very late.
Oh, we are.
RFK Jr. has assembled his anti-vax conspiracy squad.
Woohoo! Nice. Nicole Shanahan?
Yeah, exactly. She's the the VP pick, not the VIP pick. I guess she is VIP as well, but...
Is she someone other than his vice presidential candidate, is she someone I should have heard of or be aware of?
No, nobody knows who she was.
Okay.
She's a business person, isn't she?
Other than the fact that I think she was married to somebody from Google at one point. And yes, as Hester Jenkins said, she financed a lot of RFK's super PACs.
Oh, yeah. She bought her way out.
Donate enough money, become the VIP pick when Aaron Rodgers turns you down.
She is described as an American technologist and attorney. So at least she, you know, I think her primary job is an attorney. Her secondary job as a quote-unquote technologist was because she had money, probably from being involved in some of these, you know, startups that boomed. Yeah, she is 38 years old and is very much in the... I mean, she gave RFK Jr. money because of his anti-vax stuff.
Lovely.
Yeah, she's got some real odd medical things that she touts. I swear there was one about getting 2 hours of sunlight to get rid of cancer or something like that. Don't quote me on that.
Are we back to tanning your taint again? Is that where we're going with this?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, she's a lot of you know, I mean, I'm sure she believes in the brain drip or the brain leak thing.
Right.
That he touts, and that Wi-Fi gives you cancer and it pierces your brain membrane and whatever the hell. But ultimately, I saw, and I think this was on The Daily Show, when they were, after his announcement, and they were asking all the supporters what they thought, and they were like, boo, we don't like her. We wanted Jesse Ventura or Aaron Rodgers.
Well, she looks vaguely un-American. She's not, clearly. But she looks vaguely, you know, not white American. And she's female.
There you go.
Yeah, but they don't...
The other was no need.
Yeah, but I don't think the real hardcore RFK supporters are... I don't get them confused with MAGA. All right?
Right, I mean, no, not at all. But, I mean, he's a celebrity. His wife's a celebrity. His potential VP was going to be a celebrity. They want a hat on a hat.
Yeah. She was also... Not to say that she had a lot, but she put a lot of money behind the super PAC that put out that stupid ad that parodied the JFK ad.
Oh, for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. The one
that was her.
A lot of blowback from that one.
Well, she donated a lot of money to that super PAC who put that ad out.
Okay.
Sure.
Now, I don't know how much sway she gets in that, but...
I would think quite a bit if she wants it, but...
Yeah. Ultimately, nobody cares.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Right.
I did see that they were questioning a whole bunch of people. I don't know, someone of the, you know, they were interviewing a bunch of people that were JFK supporters, and they asked them, and they asked like 8 of them, and 7 out of the 8, when asked, who would you vote for if JFK Jr. was not running? 7 out of 8 of them said Trump. I'm like, yes. So he's siphoning
that
off.
That is good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very small sample set, but I like the numbers. It was good. RFK Jr., sorry.
He's probably picking up those ones that can't seem to figure out what to do with Trump in regard to the vaccination, over the fact that they're anti-vax,
right?
They're pro-Trump, but Trump wants credit for the vaccination rates.
Right. These are just hardcore anti-vaxxers. That's who he's got.
I don't know if somebody said JFK Jr., but no, RFK Jr.
RFK Jr., yeah.
Okay. And I did want to mention Hesjan Gixon has a quote from a Wikipedia page. Shanahan has repeatedly criticized in vitro fetalization, championed unconventional research that she believes might allow women to have children into their 50s, suggesting, for example, that exposure to sunlight might aid in fertility.
Okay, but that's not as bad as what I said.
It's silly and untrue, but you can think what you like.
But she's very rich, so we should listen to her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, clearly she's intelligent. She has money.
Yeah. But,
all right. Hey, speaking of having money and not any intelligence, let's move back to Trump a little bit. There's an article on the New York Times. Sorry for all the New York Times articles. I know that they're paywalled. But this article is about the Church of Trump, how Trump is infusing Christianity into his movement.
Could be like selling Bibles.
Yeah.
With the fucking Constitution in them.
But he also apparently spoke at a church not too long ago. I don't have what the church was a while, but he was talking about the great silent majority is rising like never before under our leadership. He's referring to Christian nationalism. He says, "We pray to God for our strength and for our liberty. We pray for God, and we will pray with God." I don't understand that statement. But then he says, "We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God." So he's really doubled down on the Christian nationalism. But the phrases I don't get, "We pray for God," I don't think God needs prayers.
Mm-hmm.
"And we will pray with God." I don't think God prays.
And not with you, if he does.
But in any case, he generally has, you know, he stays away from the actual mentioning of God too much. But I guess he was at a church and wanted to make sure everybody thought he was very, very much a Christian.
I don't know. In his Bible ad, he told me he's going to make America pray again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we need more God in our life.
I don't know if he retweeted or whatever, retruthed something. He's comparing himself to Jesus over the Easter holiday.
Yeah.
Oh, well, sure. That's super on brand for a cult leader.
I didn't see how he did it, though. What was the comparison that he made?
I don't know, but I know I heard that he did. That's all I got. We'll see what we can find out.
He's been treated worse than me, except maybe Jesus. But maybe Trump a little bit more. I don't know.
That sounds about right.
People are saying I'm getting treated worse than Jesus.
Fortunately, he was able to share the true word of God in his brand new Bible.
Mm, yeah.
So speaking
the true
of the
word of God, obviously being God Bless the USA by the Greenland.
So speaking of that Bible, apparently that has got some backlash as well from a bunch of pastors. Reverend Benjamin Kremer says that referring to the Bible, it is a bankrupt Christianity that sees demagogue co-opting our faith and even our scriptures for the sake of his own pursuit of power. Jason Cornwall, who's a pastor in South Carolina, said that Trump's Bible endorsement is a violation of the Ten Commandments that forbids taking God's name in vain. I really like that one.
Yeah.
A lot of Christian groups are really unhappy about the Bible. I mean, one, the Bible is supposed to be Holy Scripture. You don't put Lee Greenwood or even the Constitution in the Bible. That's not Scripture.
No.
So a lot of people are furious about it.
No. Do you know what the backlash is going to be? Nothing. They're all going to vote for Trump and do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then go,
they're furious. Maybe, they really believe.
Maybe God wanted it that way, and he's just working through Trump now to do it that way.
But maybe they won't send him $20 this month and next month.
Okay. There's some silver lining. I appreciate that.
I do what I can.
I do like part of the article that says it's not clear where the proceeds from the Bible sales will go. Really?
Well, it's existed for a while. He didn't come up with this. He just co-opted it. So I don't know if he gets, you know, branding 20% off the top or something. It's probably along those lines. Although, given past history, it's probably branding 90% off the top.
Very curious. Do these Trump Bibles say his name on it?
I don't believe so.
I'm pretty sure they're autographed by him.
I just wanted to see the cover. It's a bad picture. God, it says God bless the U.S. It's got a flag on it, too.
That's in bad taste.
Promoting really Christian nationalism.
Taste. Yeah, damn.
So, and to follow this up, again, another New York Times article, this one by Frank Bruni, talking about how the Democrats can win anywhere and everywhere. He talks about specifically I-95 in Pennsylvania and Governor Shapiro's response to it, and how that really got Shapiro way high in the polls. And it's the idea that, look, Democrats, all you really need to do is do stuff.
Yeah.
And do it publicly. Don't do stuff and keep it hidden. Do it publicly. Because the GOP, the RNC specifically, is now being headed by Trump's daughter-in-law, who is funneling all the money to Trump. That means none of the money, or very little of the money, is going to the down ballot stuff. So all the Republicans who are running all over the country, they're not getting as much funding. So Democrats need to actually be visible, go out, do things for people, announce that you're doing things for people, and use the DNC money the way that you normally do.
Agreed. And
maybe the fact that Trump is monopolizing all of the money coming in, the Democrats can actually use it to their benefit.
Did you ever see that breakdown of the amount of money that the two parties spent and what they spent it on?
I know I've seen some like graphs on that, but
there was like some insane shit, like $2 million just on limos and stuff like that for the RNC, and a lot of money on flowers and shit like that.
Well, yeah. What is it? Melania's stylist gets $40,000 a month from one of the PACs. I mean, they're putting
it. Oh, no, this was just specifically whatever money the RNC gets. I don't know. PACs are separate from that, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Wait, so there's a PAC, though, that pays for her stylist?
$40,000 a month for the past 2 years, I think it was. Yeah. It's crazy.
What is wrong with you people? Why do they know that they're giving money for?
They're cult leader. Yes.
I just don't understand people.
They are all in, pot committed.
I understand that, but he claims to have money. Right. Why do they need to give him money? I remember when people were going to donate money to Kanye West to make sure he stayed a billionaire. What the fuck is wrong with someone? Why would you do that?
I mean, he said on his Truth Social that he had $500 million in cash. And then he turns around and puts out an actual video going, please send me money, $5, $10, whatever you can afford, send it to me. Remember, he started his first campaign as, I'm going to, you know, fund this all myself. I don't need the money. I'm a billionaire. Oh, yeah. It's amazing talking one out of one side of their mouth. It's incredible.
Right. Well, I mean, at the top of this, we had explored this. It's rich people are smarter than us. They are better than us. And we, to be subservient to them is, that's the gift.
So weird. I shouldn't keep my money because I'm just going to spend it on my family and food and bills.
You should invest it in someone smarter and better than you.
Right. I'm not just giving it to him. I'm making an investment in him.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And then he will make your life better.
Oh, right. It's
completely better.
It's prosperity gospel in political form.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Wow.
I hope that's what it is.
I very, very distinctly remember from 2016 until 2020, my life was the best it's ever been in all of my 45 years. And it was all due to Donald Trump.
Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
Shit, yeah.
Everything is better. And now I'm finally included.
Think back to the glorious 2020s.
Oh, 2020 was interesting. And not in
definitely
a good way.
A real global game changer.
Yeah.
But let's keep moving. The next thing's about butt stuff. I want to hear Ray talk about butt stuff.
I'm going to rearrange it a little bit. I'm going to hit the monkeypox first, you can't call it monkeypox anymore. The mpox cases. Because we were talking about things that have changed since 2020.
Yeah.
Monkeypox is back. 511 cases reported this year through March 16th, according to the CDC, compared with fewer than 300 cases all last year. So, yeah. Monkeypox or mpox.
Yeah. Now, does that come back to one of our previous stories, or are we just worried that people are going to lash out against monkeys? This isn't a brown bag thing, is it?
I don't know. Why we're calling it Mpox. I think it was very similar to that. The reason they're calling it Mpox instead, but I don't
know.
Come
on now.
Well, and there's,
this is an outrage.
There's
get to the butt stuff.
Just as a quick aside, there's also some human caught avian bird flu from their cows. So that's not good news. Also,
I don't even think there is a vaccine for that.
No, there isn't.
Hey, there is for monkeypox.
Hmm.
Maybe you should get vaccinated. I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, this next story just
amazed
me.
Let's, as Ian puts it, let's do the butt stuff.
Right.
New guidance has been issued from the U.S.
It's almost my birthday.
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. That department is now requiring hospitals to get consent from patients before performing breast, pelvic, prostate, and rectal exams.
While they're unconscious for other completely unrelated things.
I want to put this out here. This wasn't previously required. So you could be unconscious, and they could bring in medical students, nurse practitioners, or physician's assistants, and do breast, pelvic, prostate, and rectal exams without your prior consent.
How do they get your consent when you're out cold?
Well, they need to get it beforehand, as it turns out.
Before, they just did the exams, and you woke up and went, what? Why do? What? Bad what bitch. Happened?
I mean, I'm not opposed to being, before I get knocked out, they like, by the way, while you're knocked out, we might be sticking things up your ass. Are you okay with that? I'd be like, thanks for the heads up, but go ahead. So I kind of see that. Well, I was just, the way Karen explained it, like, they were going over a comatose person, be like, is it okay if I stick things in your butt? And then waving your limp hand around. He's like, he said okay.
No, what they were doing was while you were in there to get your tonsils taken out, they were bringing in, you know, a half a dozen students and doing pelvic exams on women or prostate exams on men.
For training shit?
For training, to train the students. Yeah.
Well, then I agree. Yes, you should absolutely consent to that.
Yes.
That's a little fucked up that they may have rolled me over and showed my butt to a bunch of students.
Right. Used you as a test dummy for students while you were unconscious without your knowledge?
Yeah.
That's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But that's fantastic. Like, Karen's right, but I'm also with Jared. What do you need me to sign before this? What might happen while I'm unconscious? Approve that loan.
So apparently,
just stamp a yes and send it on in there.
In our home state, there's an article referenced in the AP News article about how many states actually have laws for this. Pennsylvania already has a law stating that it requires a doctor to get a patient's verbal and written consent before medical students can perform pelvic or rectal exams. However, this law was enacted November last year.
Luckily, I go to the Jersey hospital, but maybe their laws are worse. I don't know.
Well, and I don't have the list, but there are 20 states that have similar measures. That means that there are 30 states that don't.
Yeah. And now there are guidelines asking that, you know, you don't do this. But there's not a law. It's just a guideline. Not a law.
Yeah. Well, it is in Pennsylvania and 19 other states that I don't have a list for.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Jared. No, I want to hear some more information before I.
Okay, this just seems absolutely fucking bonkers that this was going on prior to this. That they thought that this was cool.
Yeah. Yes.
That they're go ahead.
Not cool, but let me Jim Banks this for you. I want these medical residents and medical students to provide me in the future with the best possible care.
Yeah.
And often that comes from getting the most hands-on practice in the best possible environment so they can provide me with that care. In order to get that practice, if you think that the volunteer list of let me probe your asshole while you're unconscious is long, you're a fucking fool. So
Okay, I'm with you.
Why don't we just bypass this whole consent thing and let them probe people right. while they're unconscious?
No, and I'm like, listen, I might even consent to this because, like,
I just want
to
know about it ahead of time. Yeah,
right. I mean, as long as you're asking me, and I'll be like, yeah, bring them all in. I'm fucking out cold. Maybe you'll find something that I don't know about, and it will. If it will help, then that's fine. But if I found out afterwards that my asshole was spread and shown to 15 students, and I wasn't asked about it first. I'm suing this hospital.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think before...
I know. If you want that kind of action, you got to subscribe to Jared's OnlyFans.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get that shit for free, man.
I think they would have argued implied consent. You know, you're in a teaching hospital. What did you think was going to happen? So, but now the law...
At the very least, could you knock a little bit off the bill if I'm going to do this?
Meanwhile, I go to, you know, a guy to help me with my knee pain, and I get shots in my knee. At one point, he brought in a student doctor and was like, he's going to be here to you know, go over the examination with me and maybe apply the shots if you're okay with it. Are you okay if I bring him into the room? Like, they're asking me if I'm okay to bring in a student to talk about my knees. That's a little less than going up my butthole.
Yeah. All those places. I totally understand. And I guess I was just trying to put out a devil's advocate version of why it has taken so long for this level of consent to be expected rather than just implied. And I get it, you know, with again, in it, even though I was being comical, you know, it's much like, you know, in the way that, you know, we've discovered that Ben Franklin bought black market cadavers to carve up and learn more about human anatomy. It's the same way that that John Hopkins, you know, came up with a cure for scarlet fever by intentionally infecting like two dozen nursemaids, and finally one of them didn't die, and he's like, "Hey, I think I'm onto something." So I like this is along those veins, but it's a little less. Now they're just kind of poking my parts. So now they have to ask me before they can poke my parts.
I wonder,
they're getting a little better each step. Yeah.
God, in my mind, I'm like imagining, like, he's out. Quick, get in here real quick before he fucking gets up. Roll him over. Yeah. Get in there. Shit, his eyes are blinking. Fuck, get the fuck out of here. Quick, get out.
Quick, everybody hide.
I can't breathe.
And then that one person would be like, did you just have like 15, 20 students in here? What the fuck is going on in this hospital? And that's how the whole story got broken wide. We were all blissfully unaware until this, that this was happening.
Oh, man.
All right. We are running along. Let me do the final thing real quick because I don't want to skip it. It is about UFO conspiracy theories on Wikipedia. So there is a group of UFO, I don't know, what do you call people who believe that the aliens are amongst us?
Ufologists?
I don't know. But I love the image that is on this article. But apparently the conspiracy theory is, why don't we see anything about UFOs on Wikipedia? Well, the theory is it's because there's an anti-UFO Taliban, a cabal focused on the unmerciful rejection of all things related to uncles from Mars, people who travel in eggs, and other political insiders. This is their words. Anything explicitly exposed off wiki and featured in not at all coherent exposés, the cabal decides that it's not worth listing. There's also an atheist cabal on Wikipedia that are determined to scrub all mentions of God from Wikipedia.
What? There are so many articles on Wikipedia about the various different religions and gods.
Apparently, the greatest achievement of the atheist cabal has been the elimination of the terms BC and AD.
I don't know how that came about, but I'm sure it was an inclusion kind of thing.
The elimination or the using them originally? I'm all for the elimination.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd be totally down for that.
Well, yeah, because BC is before Christ and AD is Anno Domini, which is in the year of our Lord.
Yeah. Well, is it now BCE, which is before the current
before
era?
Before Christian era.
Christian or current?
Well, when it was introduced, I was still attending church and I thought it was before the Christian era. I guess I don't know for sure.
Oh, common era.
Common era.
Says multiple sources on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, if you're the atheist cabal is winning. Oh.
If you're going to de-religialize it, you know, actually de-religialize it.
De-religialize?
I don't know.
Okay.
Making shit up now.
This cabal also marks things that they don't like as crime think and vaporizes their political enemies. Banned users are unusers who never existed. It is thought that this cabal may be controlled by shape-shifting lizard people. And oh. I'm out.
No way, that's what pulled me back in. I was starting to doze off until you said shape-shifting lizard people. I was like, oh, the lizard people, they're back.
Yeah, yeah.
I miss them.
Hmm.
So apparently change.org, they have a actual, you can go on and get a sign on to demand Wikipedia to dismiss editors suppressing UAP phenomenon. They claim that the cabal is 150 members of secret regulators of Wikipedia. As it turns out, there's actually 125,000 people who edit Wikipedia because it's big.
And it turns out there's an enormous section about UFOs on Wikipedia.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
But, you know, not the big stories. The latest breaking stories that would convince everyone, they never make it on.
So Bob from Nevada saw something that doesn't make it on. So, okay. If somebody other than Bob from Nevada saw it, it might make it. Or there's a picture or, you know, anything. Holy crap, this article is enormous.
It is. There's a lot to this article. But it comes from somebody who is an editor on Wikipedia, so clearly they're biased against the UFO people.
Hey.
In any case, that's all I got. You guys have anything else?
I'm spent after that hospital one.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Then I think I'm going to start wrapping up for this week. I will start off by thanking our patrons for supporting the podcast. I know only a few of you get to join us. I'm assuming that that's because of, you know, time constraints, that sort of thing. We do record kind of, you know, late-ish. But those of you who can be here really do appreciate it. Those of you who can't but still support, again, your help offsets the cost of the servers and the web page, so you allow us to continue to produce this show. If you enjoy the podcast and you can't support us on Patreon, you can still share the podcast on social media or leave a review for us wherever you haven't listened. And again, I saw this week several reposts on SoundCloud. I do appreciate that. If you would like to contact us, you can on our Facebook page by tweeting at ProfaneArg or emailing godless@profanearg.com. Also, I'd like to encourage people to check out other shows on the soon-to-be-named network, podcasting network that we are on. You can find them all at soon-to-be-named-network.com. Again, thanks for listening, and until next time, I'm Ray.
I'm Karen.
I'm Jared.
This is Ian.
Thank you. Good night, and may your God go with you. Tired of pretending.